Welcome back. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. We have with us right now Yuri Kochiyama, who I said earlier is a longtime movement activist, part of the redress and reparation movement of the Japanese Americans. She's a prison abolitionist. She's a longtime revolutionary Asian woman who was part of the African Organization for African American Unity and longtime friend of Malcolm X. With us today is Yuri. Hello, Yuri.
Oh, hi. This is Tammy.
This is Tammy.
Okay, hi, Tammy.
Again, this is Tammy Bang-Lu with your Eric Mann, and you're on Voices from the Front Lines of the 4 o'clock news hour. Yuri, how are you doing?
Okay.
Well, we wanted to start off, I mean, our earlier segment was a tribute to Richie Perez. You've been on the front lines with Richie. Is there anything you want to share with our listeners?
Oh, yeah. I mean, both Richie Perez and Vicente Alba, or I guess Panama, I mean, were two of the most respected leaders in the Puerto Rican movement. And I'll never forget, maybe he already repeated this because I didn't hear Panama, but when Andre Cordero, who was in prison, one of the Puerto Rican nationals, he came down with cancer and he was dying. And so Richie and Panama wanted to do something that would attract attention and also get Cordero out of prison, that at least he would not die in prison. And so they thought of the idea of taking over the Statue of Liberty. And it really worked, because I think within 6 months, I don't know if it was in 1977, I think it was around then, they did a very successful takeover of the Statue of Liberty, got a lot of publicity, and Cordero was able to come out. And 2 years later, I think all the Puerto Rican nationalists were out. But it's people like Richie Perez in Panama, Alba's leadership, that led the way to so many of the things in the Puerto Rican movement.
Yeah, you yourself was arrested in that action, I believe.
What?
You yourself was arrested in that action also.
Oh, yeah, there was about 29 or 30 of us.
Well, I had a, you know, as an Asian woman who've been active through many struggles, one of them the redress and reparations, but you've also chosen to root yourself inside the Black struggle, the Organization for African American Unity, the Black Liberation, but particularly the revolutionary Black nationalist movement, which focused a lot on land and self-determination. So my question to you as an Asian woman, why, and how has that experience and orientation shaped you politically?
Well, the person who influenced me the most in all these years has been Malcolm X. There's nobody like him. And just as he has influenced thousands and thousands of people, I mean, once I started going to hear him speak about what was happening in this world, I mean, it changed my whole perspective, not just on the struggle, but just in general. And it also showed me who is the number one enemy in this world, who has done so much damage. It is U.S. government. And so it's through the teachings of Malcolm X that I liked the way he presented everything. And it wasn't that I chose the Black movement over other movements. I was also in the Asian American Puerto Rican movement, but I was living in Harlem. In fact, I lived there 40 years and heard some of the greatest speakers in the Black struggle. And so, of course, they influenced my life.
You know, many movement veterans, well, we just had a great discussion with Panama, as you talked about earlier, and he's talked about revolution not as a moment but a process. You know, there are people who are summing up the errors, trying to learn from the lessons, not necessarily critiques. But then there are others who are calling them these attempts, the Black Panther Party, the party building movements of the 1970s, Soviet Union, China, as failed attempts. Do you agree with that?
Is that the word you said?
Yeah, failed attempts, they called it. Failures.
I saw the word failure. They certainly were not failures. These attempts influenced other, you know, all the movements that followed after them. They were certainly not failures. I mean, they planted the seeds that it could go, you know, that the seeds will go in deeper and will be bringing up new kind of roots and flowers. And if it wasn't for the Black Panther Party, I don't think whole communities could have become so aroused and wanting to do something to bring the changes. Black Panther Party was very influential. So were all those parties. And even countries like China and what was the other one you said, Soviet Union, mm-hmm. even though they sort of went downward, I don't think we could call them failures either. I mean, they also opened the path, and today it's up to people in struggle now all over the world to do something to sideline the U.S. government and U.S. terrorism and U.S. lies. And so I don't think anything is a failure. Any attempt helps the struggle.
Well, I think hi, I'm Eric Mann. I'm one of the co-hosts of the Voices from the Frontline, and I'm just began reading your amazing book, Passing It On.
Didn't come out yet.
It didn't come out yet? Well, is it okay if we give it a plug already?
Oh, thank you.
All right. The book is called Passing It On. It's produced by www.aascucoaedu. And her name is Yuri Kochiyama, Kochiyama. The book is called Passing It On. Between Amazon.com and UCLA, there's no way you won't get a copy and should get a copy. Going back to your point, you know, I was a Jewish young guy who went to Harlem in 1964 to work with the Congress of Racial Equality. And I heard Malcolm X speak. I was so lucky to hear him speak.
Oh, that's wonderful.
When he wasn't famous, he was on a soapbox. In my mind, he was on a soapbox, and he was so great. But there was only at the time maybe 30 people listening to him, and one of the people...
Really? Just 30?
Yeah, and then somebody...
What?
This was early, and then somebody from CORE, who I was with, said, do you know who that is? This guy is going to become famous.
Who's that? You mean the person said this guy, meaning Malcolm.
Meaning Malcolm.
Yeah.
Is going to become famous. So one of the things I think is very interesting, if you look at the three guests we have, Panama Alba, mm-hmm. yourself, and Grace Lee Boggs, mm-hmm. and even myself, mm-hmm. one Puerto Rican, two Asians, and one Jew, how mm-hmm. influential the black movement was on all of us. It wasn't, as you said, it wasn't that because of the black movement you didn't become active in the Asian movement, mm-hmm. or it wasn't because of the black movement the Young Lords didn't get involved in the Puerto Rican movement,
right.
but because of the black movement we were all transformed.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you could tell a little bit more about that, about how you took some of the lessons from the black liberation movement into some other struggles you were doing.
Well, you know, when you think of the kind of things Malcolm was saying, like he was telling his own people that they must be proud of their heritage. And when he was saying that, I think other people were listening and feeling, well, I better be proud of my heritage, learn my own history, as well as learning other histories so that you could interact. But Malcolm said so many, many wise kind of things that made us see a lot more clearer and more deeply. And but I think that the black liberation struggle was the main influence for all the struggles, because the black liberation struggle, though it was not exactly part of the civil rights struggle, it did influence the civil rights struggle. And I think, too, the black liberation struggle emphasized a lot about anti-imperialism, you know, because of what happened in Africa, you know, the dissection of Africa and all that, and it was 1885. But
that's right.
Going to the meetings of Malcolm, it was such a educational, you know, activity. We learned so much, and it's too bad he died so young.
You know, Yuri, I've been meeting a lot of young organizers and activists, and they've been talking about being burned out and, you know, trying to take a break, but you've been in the movement for 50-plus years. What's kept you going?
Well, there keeps, you know, more and more injustices in the world. And so when there is any kind of injustice, you have to keep going. And what the thing about, what is the quotation, an injury to one is an injury to all. And I think that's what keeps all activists going all over the world, is because of these injustices and injury. And again, I want to say that the number one enemy who has really blocked progress and good social interactions, and who has divided people and destroyed even nations, pulled coups and all, is the United States. We've all got to stop U.S. wars and U.S. terrorisms. And so I think no matter how long it takes, I mean, that's reason enough to say, to stay involved. And I think that's the reason that all over the world, people are fighting against imperialism and the kind of things that U.S. is doing.
That's, you know, in your memoir, your son, Eddie, was talking about how he went to China,
right,
and was asked by Chao Enlai, who's, you know, on top echelons of the Chinese Revolution, and he asked your son, you know, what's the principal contradiction in the world today? And he said it's between the forces of national liberation, third world movements, and U.S. imperialism.
Right.
And not much has changed now.
Right. See, it's the same thing. And I think it's sad that all of us go through public schools here and we don't learn the truth. They don't talk about the annihilation of the indigenous here, the American Indians. They don't, and there's maybe a little paragraph about the enslavement of Africans. There's hardly anything how U.S. took over most of Mexico. I mean, today we need all these activists who are doing what they should be doing, reading and learning and becoming involved physically too.
Well, you know, Yuri, this is Eric Mann again. We're on Voices from the Frontlines at the 4 o'clock hour. I just finished a book called Dispatches from Durban, First-Hand Commentaries on the World Conference Against Racism.
Uh-huh.
And post-September 11th movement strategies. And it's available at Amazon.com also, and I'll send you a copy.
Oh, thank you.
One of the things that I think is really interesting what you're saying is that the Voices from the Frontline show, mm-hmm, in terms of our guests, mm-hmm, in terms of our hosts, we come out of what we call an anti-racist, anti-imperialist tradition.
Right.
And there are many well-meaning listeners of KPFK who don't really come out of that tradition.
Mm.
They come out of a more anti-globalization, anti-capitalist tradition, which they think is the same thing, but it's not. They don't understand about self-determination.
Right.
They don't understand about the structural racism and imperialism.
Mm-hmm.
For them, globalization just means sort of capitalism run amok throughout the world.
Yeah.
And
but do you think some of them feel it's about imperialism too? No? They just think globalization?
Well, I think a lot of them think that globalization is sort of, I have a capitalist class in the United States, and you have a capitalist class in Sumatra or in Borneo or in South Africa, you should overthrow your capitalist class and I'll overthrow mine.
Oh, uh-huh.
But what we're trying to do is say, as you say, as Martin Luther King said, the major enemy of the people of the world, the greatest purveyor of violence in the world, is the U.S. government.
Absolutely.
So we need you on the show more.
No.
Because,
feel the same way. Yes.
Not because of your age, but because of your youth. And I'm here with Yuri Kochiyama, who's a true hero, heroine in the revolutionary movement. You got to get her book, Passing It On, folks.
Yeah, the book launching of Passing It On, the memoir that Yuri Kochiyama wrote, will be taking place this Saturday from 4 to 6 at East Wind Bookstore. It's 923 Westwood Boulevard. This event is sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center. The telephone number for all your listeners who are going to go and buy a book and want to know more information about it is 310-825-2974.
Oh, my golly. Thank you for such a push. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, Yuri, on May 17th, we're going to have a show, and it's going to be dedicated to Malcolm X, and we'd love to have
really?
You back on.
What?
We'd love to have you back on.
Oh, I would love to.
Okay.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, his birthday's May 19th.
That's right. Well, for all listeners, thank you. We have Yuri Kochiyama on with us, and everyone pick up her memoir, Passing It On. Up next, we'll be having Dr. Grace Lee Boggs to join us from Detroit. She'll be talking about radical social movements and the future of the left.
We'll be right back after a short break. KPFK 90.7 FM, 98.7 in Santa Barbara.
And Carmen Valentina, attack. Boricua, attack.
To destroy the legacy of Marine,
attack. Boricua, attack.
Like Alejandrina,
attack.
Like Juan Chega.